Rabbanim. The last week we learned the Gemara Chav Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara had a chiddush that usually a chayla she'ein bo sakana, we don't permit you to violate not a malacha deraisa and not a malacha derabbanim. We only permit you to violate a gzera, like to administer refuah, just to take a pill or to put on iodine or something like that. So usually refuah is asur, a special gzera. You're not allowed to use refuah on Shabbos Yontif, gzera shemin shachik samamanim. So on, if the patient is a chayla she'ein bo sakana, means he has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, so then we're mater refuah, we're mater amira v'nochri. Well, Mata, the Gemara says, in the end of Erevin, we allow, let's say, to play music. If the patient is sick and he really needs a lot of sleep and he can't fall asleep, so the Gemara says, we are permitted to play music because not with an electrical
instrument.
It means just to play music with a piano or a harp that he should fall asleep. Why? Because playing music is only a gzeira shemi sakin klisha. It's not even a malacha midrabbana. You don't say that whoever plays the piano is in violation of makana patish midrabbana. No. It's a gzera shema yavali day tikkun kli. So whatever is only a gzera, let's say Tilton looks, so the doctor comes to the house, goes to the doctor, looks at the patient, and he says he wants to write a prescription, he doesn't have a pen, and he doesn't have a pad. He says, can you please give me a pen? The guy to ask the yi, the guy should doctor ask you, can you please give me a pen? And you're concerned if you won't give him, if you'll tell him the pen is over here, it's muksa, I can't handle it, you're afraid he's going to get angry, he's going to walk out. And you really need the prescription. So it's the Magen Avraham quotes from the Yisra V'Hetta, from the Sefer Yisra V'Hetta, that Tilton Muksa is also Musa. Why? What do they all have in common? They're all Xeris. Refuah is only Xeris Shemi Shachik Salamanim. And play music is Xeris Shemi Sakin Kleshir. And Amir Lenochri, the Gemara says, is only Xeris Shemi, you'll do it yourself. And Tilton Muksa is Xeris Shemi Yichtav. Everything is only Xeris. So all Xeris are Musa, Barichol Shemi Sakonim. But in Malachi de Rabbanan, yeah.
Pencil.
Yeah, Tilton Muksa. Lechayr is only a gzeira. To write with the pencil, that's a malacha. But to hand over the pen or the pencil, that's only a gzeira. So we allow all gzeiras. Moshe, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to ask a nochri to turn on a hot bath. You should turn on the hot water, which is bishul. Let's say to cook water. And for a chayla shem is hakonis. So Rabbi Kiveg affects akasha. What good is it that the nochri is going to cook the hot water, but I'm taking the hot bath. You're not allowed to take a hot bath.
Yeah,
so Rabbi Kiveger says taking a hot bath is not even a malacha midrabban. It's a gzeres habalonim. It's a gzeres. So since it's only a gzeres, so we're matter all gzeres we're matter. The gzeres habalonim and the gzeres of music, all the gzeres are muta. But you don't allow one to do a malacha, even only a malacha midrabbanon. The only time you matter a malacha midrabbanon is when you have a sakana saver. That's the Ramban. The Mechaber writes in Shin Chav Ches, there are four opinions. When you matter what? And he says, Bahalocha Kedeya Hashlishis. He says, we pass from like the third opinion that he listed. Third opinion is the Ramban in the Torah Sodom. So the Ramban writes these three Madregas, that if there's a Sakonas HaNefesh, there's a possibility, even a remote possibility, but it's a possibility that people are concerned about. If there's a possibility the person may lose his life, that's Mamish Sakonas, Sofik Sakonas. So Safek Sakana, he permitted to violate Malachas Deraisa also if need be. If he can avoid Deraisa and make it into Rabbanon, is much better, but if he can't avoid it, then it's permissible even to violate a Malachas Deraisa. And if there's no Sakana Sanefesh, there's only Sakana Saver, a person may lose use of a limb, lose a finger, or become injured in such a way that he won't be useful or something like that, so then Sakana Saver is not fair. There is an opinion, there is a minority opinion. The Sakana Saver is also considered Pikuach Nefesh. The Meiri holds like that. He had a different use in the Gemara. We don't pass him like that. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass him. The Sakana Saver is not considered the Sakana Nefoshes. Only Mamish Sakana to one's life. But by Sakana Saver, the Ramban writes, and the Shulchan Aruch says we pass him like the third Shita. That's the Ramban Shita. Ramban writes that you can violate all Malachas Midirabbanim. You can't violate a Malacha Deraisa, but you can violate a Malacha Derabbanim. And if he's not even a sakana saver, it's lower than that. It's only a chayla shem sakana. A person has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. So then we only allow gzeiras derabbanan. So here the Gemara says, though, that there's an exception to the rule. On Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius, we permit even malachas mederabbanan. On Chalamoid, Chacham Rai for sure, but even Ayantav Sheni, the Gemara says, Amei Mishar the Mikhalena, two lines from the bottom. Amei Mishar the Mikhalena, Beyantav Sheni, so Rosh Hashani has a Chidush on top of a Chidush. Mikhalena is a Malacha, either Kosev Midirabanon, or Tovea Midirabanon, but it's a Malacha Midirabanon, it's not just a Refuah. So Ameima permitted it on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli. It's a special kula. Like the Gemara says, we know there's a kula that if there's Cholila Levaya, someone dies. If it's on Yom Tov Rishon, if Shabbos Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bury him at all. Even Aydei Nochem, it's a Bizoyin Ameis that he should be buried. You should go down in history, everybody should remember, yeah, the Goyim dug his grave on Shabbos Yom Kippur and they buried him. So you're not allowed to bury even on Shabbos Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to bury even Aydei Akum on Shabbos Yom Kippur. But on Yom Tov Rishon, it's not a Bizoyin Ameis, but there's no heter to do the Malacha. On Yom Tov Rishon, if you have to bury a Yisrael, so you do Amir Lanachri, Ayidei Akum. And on Yom Tov Sheni, you're even permitted to bury Ayidei Yisrael. So you see that there's a kula in Yom Tov Sheni, special kula, but Makum Purus Ameis. Ameima claims here's another kula, that you're permitted to do Malacha Midirabanon. On Yom Tov Sheni, he wouldn't permit Malacha Derais on Yom Tov Sheni, even though the whole Yom Tov Sheni is only Midirabanon. No. On Malacha Derabanon, on Yom Tov Sheni, is permissible. So that's Chiddush number one. L'mikhalena b'yantav sheni shal Rosh Hashanah. And then Chiddush number two is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah zach hayom arichta, the first day, second day. So he says no, he doesn't. He holds that yantav sheni shal Rosh Hashanah is the same as yantav sheni shal Golias at Pesach Shuasukis, and also has the status of yantav sheni. The Gemara says that we don't pass him like that. We pass the yantav sheni of Rosh Hashanah where Mekel only benegir tikfuras ameis. Masha'ena came to Beitza, that's the top line. But not so with respect to any other issue. Whenever there's any other issue that we're discussing, whether Yom Tov Sheni is exactly the same as Yom Tov Rishon or not, like a Beitza Shinol de Bezev, will it be Asura Bezev? So if you say, yes, if you say Yom Arichta, so whatever is Mukta on the first day will remain Mukta on the second day. If you say the second day has slightly lower level of seriousness, that you have a Kula that the Refuah is Mukta, if you say that the Chodesh Shemus HaKonah can violate Malachas the Rabbanon, so then Yom Tov Sheni is not the same as Yom Tov Rishon. So how can you say that it's Yom HaRichta? So he says, Ameima disagrees with the Psak HaMakubal. We don't pass him like Ameima. We pass him the only Kula you have on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, all the Yom Tov Rishon, is Kvuras Ameis. But when you get to Nol the Bezeh, Zasur Bezeh. When you get to Refu, is also the same. Yom Tov Sheni is the same as Yom Tov Rishon.
The
cool of
the second day depends upon the fact
there
was a
non-definitive
Yehud Yark, and it's not really...
Yeah, yeah. That's what he holds. But we know the first day Rosh Hashanah is the real Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. We don't observe 2 days Yom Kippur. We know which is the real day. The second day is only make-believe with the Rabbana. So that's why Ameima was of the opinion Yom Tov Sheni Rosh Hashanah is a lower madrega. It's not a Yom HaRichta. And we don't pass on like him. We pass on the Yom Tov Sheni Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaRichta. That's what we learned last week. Yom Tov Sheni Shavuos for sure is not a Yom HaRichta. No, Chasam Sofer came up. Ashvere yesh lahachma bedoichit. Ashvere chuma. Ashvere chuma. The Pashtus is the second day Shavuos. If anything is less than Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach, not that it should be more. Either equal to or less, but it can't be more chomer because
never really
right, the lechor should be less than any other Yom Tov Sheni. So some sort of instance, there never was a real suffix, and nonetheless they instituted it as mochom. I could have been a shver svar and mochom. And Allah, it's the same Yom Tov Sheni Shavuos, the same as any other Yom Tov Sheni. So we got up to the next Gemara on the top of Chav Beis. And basically, Gemara is explaining the three things in the Mishnah. Mishnah and Chav Aleph from the base quotes the Rabbi Gamliel. In Rabbi Gamliel's home, the din always is like Beis Hillel against the Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Gamliel had a personal chumrah that used to be machmer three things like the Beis Shammai. So one of the things was, the third thing was, Ein Oifen Titin Glitzin Ela Rikikin. What's the issue? What's the shaila? So the Gemara has two pshatim. So the first pshat the Gemara has is, Ein Oifen Titin Glitzin. Rashi and the Mishnah already has the maskonah. The first, the Gemara has the pshat that the machloik is Bishami Beisil is only on Pesach, and it's the shalaf and chashash chimutz. When you take Pesach like flour, we use matzah mil.
Yeah.
So once you use matzah mil, once the flour was baked already, they made matzah, then they broke it down into tiny pieces. So the Gemara says that an offui The following things can never become chametz. So it says ha'afui ha'mavushal. Let's say you take flour, raw flour that they bake matzahs from. You take the flour and you cook it in burning hot water. Quickly, you throw it into burning hot water. So the Gemara says, once you did bishul on it, if you put it into warm water, lukewarm water, so it'll be memayel lahasnitz. If the warmer the water is, so the faster it'll become chametz. You won't have to wait 18 minutes to become chametz. Maybe become chametz in less than 18 minutes. But if you put it into burning hot water, you have a pot of water burning on the cooking on the stove, and you throw this in, that's called chalita. If you do chalita on it, that's called bishul. So that'll prevent it from ever becoming chametz later on. Or let's say you have ofui. Ofui is not boiled dechim. Ofui means I bake matzahs, and then I grind it up, I make matzah meal out of it, and then you mix it with water. You can let it sit all day long, and it won't become chametz. The chashash that the Hasidim had was gibrochs. You shouldn't gibrochs. They were afraid that maybe the matzahs are not sufficiently baked. Maybe they're not baked so well. So maybe the inside of the matzah is really raw. So it doesn't become chametz because he put it in the oven and was there so long, so it baked out all the water evaporated. But now if you sit it, now if you have it soak in water again, so then you have the raw flour inside, so it'll become chametz again.
But there are some matzahs,
it's not baked.
Yeah?
Enough
in a corner or in the matzah.
Don't use it for
your work.
Okay.
There's
nothing
in there.
So that's the Hasidim were concerned about the Gebrocks, and there's only going put a knadle in the window to show that he doesn't hold it. Rav Chaim Volozhiner came specially to Vilna to ask him that he heard the new chumra from the Hasidim that they don't eat Gebrocks. When he explained to Vilna going what it was, so he was so against the Hasidim, so he put a knadle in the window that everybody in Vilna should know that he doesn't hold from the chumra. Okay. So the chassidim are machmen and misnagna. But mikradin, that's the halacha. That once it's baked already, it can't become chametz. So by yos, there's no problem. Let's say if you have matzah mill and you want to bake a cake on Pesach and you have thick dough, a couple of inches thick, so gzuntait, make it as thick as you want. So ofui, once it's baked already, it's not boledei chimus. But here the Gemara is talking, you're using not matzah mill, you're using Pesach tikka flour, the flour that the matzah companies use. Yeah. That's not baked yet. That's raw flour. So the Gemara first thought that the machlokes b'sham and b'silo was only on Pesach, doesn't apply to Shavuot, doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah, only on Pesach, and it's an issue of chimut. Can you be careful if the dough is going to be too thick? Can you really be careful that the inside shouldn't be boiled de chimut? Maybe it's achshash from chimut. Like you said, the thinner the matzahs are, so the better it's going to be crusty, you're all going to be baked. And the thicker it is, so you may have something in the middle that's here's the original gibrocks.
Yeah.
According to the original Pshatah Gemara, here's the original gibrocks that Beishamri with a chsidim. And they said you can't make it too thick, and the Beisil were not concerned. They said you can make it thick. So the Gemara, according to the first Pshat, and the Gemara quotes the Braisa, that it says, Ein Oifen Pas Ova BePesach. The Machloikis is BePesach. Tana Rabbanan, here. Six lines on the top of Chav Beis and Beis. Tana Rabbanan, it says in Hebraise, Beisham Yom Ein Oifen Pas Ova BePesach. You're not allowed. It sounds like it's Achshash Mochimutz. What's the Achshash? He broke. If it'll be too thick, Besil Matir. And then they bring a Raya. Matah Shira. The Gemara has different kinds of matzah shira, right? So one of them is not when it's very thick, but rather when it's gigantic. The Gemara has if it's very gigantic. Our matzahs are not so big. Six eighths. The stomach to be so big, it has to be very thick and very wide also. Yeah, but matzah shira is only on the first night for the Seder. The Pashto says matzah shira the rest of Pesach is not a problem. And here the Gemara seems to be concerned about chimutz. Your choshish that it's going to become chametz.
You eat the chicken soup. It's hot soup, really hot soup.
Yeah.
You only put a piece of matzah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This not allowed. It's going to be bishul.
In Shulchan Aruch, there's a chumra,
yeah.
That even though the matzah is baked already, but Taisus has a whole gemara that they interpret as saying that ain't bishul achar bishul, but yesh bishul achar afiyah. The matzah was never cooked. The matzah, the challah was baked. It was never cooked. But you're going to put it into the burning hot bowl of soup. So you're going to be doing a bishul on it. So yesh bishul achar afiyah. Aye, but the soup in the bowl is already a klisheni, and the dinners of the klisheni is not mevashel. So Taisus has a pshat from the Rih Azokin, Bala Taisus. He says, yeah, Klisheni is not Mavashal, is a din minatoira, but there's a din chumra midirabbanon, has a rife in the Gemara, there's a chumra midirabbanon of Mechzikim Mavashal. So if you pour, let's say, the soup is burning hot and it's too hot, you're going to burn your tongue. So you pour in cold water, you pour in a little seltzer to cool it off. So that's not Mechzikim Mavashal, because the water or the seltzer blends in with the rest of the soup, and it doesn't stand out separately. Or if you're going to put in, let's say,
Lokshim
was cooked already, so that ain't bishul achabishul, there's no problem. But let's say you'll put in
matzah
or challah that was never cooked, it was only baked, and you put it into the klisheni, and it doesn't blend in with the rest, and you're going to eat it. It's not a tavlin either. Let's say you put in a tibig, alpi pashtus. The tibig, you're not going to eat the tibig. So the pashtus is there is no mechzikim mevashel on the tibig. There's no mechzikim mevashel if you put in a chveis a lemon. I have a hot cup of tea and I put in a piece of lemon. The lemon was never cooked before, so he says, Achshash, Mechzikim Mevashel. The answer is you don't eat the lemon, the lemon sits there and then you drink the tea. You leave the lemon behind. So that's not Mechzikim Mevashel. In order to be considered this Chashash Mederabon, Mechzikim Mevashel has to be something which is not going to blend in with the rest. It has to be a solid, not a liquid. Whatever's going to be a liquid is going to blend in. There's no Mechzikim Mevashel. Rachma on the tea bag is for two reasons.
To make a klishlishi first.
It's for two reasons, right? Right. Some the Chaye Yodam has a chiddush based on a Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say it; it's an extension of a Rambam. Chaye Yodam has a chiddush based on the Rambam that when you say klishen is enim mevashel only if it's yad soledisbo, but if it's even burning or it's more hot, it's yad nichvisbo, scalding. If you put your hand, you'll get a red burn on your hand. Yad nichlis bo. So then the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi that there's yesh bishul be klishen. The Rambam happens not, it's not in Hilchos Shabbos, it's the Rambam in Hilchos Trumas. It's called Achilas Keva. That if you do bishul, it's called Achilas Keva, so you chayv in Trumas Mais in the Rabbanim, even though you didn't yet do the Riyas Tenevais. So the Chayyadim suggests that maybe, he says, maybe not, that maybe it even applies to Hilchos Shabbos. So that's one reason for the Chumrah. That very often the water in the tea kettle is so burning hot, even when you pour it into the cup, it's yad nichvizbo. So the minig was in Europe that if you pour it from the first cup into a second cup, we assume it's still hot, but it's not going to be yad nichviz. The worst it can be is going to be yad soledizbo, so this whole chumra doesn't apply. And then there was another concern, there was another reason that people were worried about was that in the tour quotes Amri Shainim will say, the Mishnah has a din that when you say, Ein Bishul B'Klisheni, that's on normal foods. You put an egg in the Klisheni, then you say, Ein Bishul B'Klisheni, Klisheni Ein Mevashel. What if you have some type of a food item that's Mikali HaBishul? It's very easy to get cooked. You don't need so much heat in order to cook it. So then the Mishnah says, Afilu B'Klisheni, Yesh Bishul Deraisa. Klisheni is Mevashel Menatere, if the food that you're cooking is Mikali HaBishul. So the Torah quotes Amri Shanim say that you can never tell whatever it doesn't say Beferish in the Gemara, whatever items doesn't say, you always have to be concerned. Maybe it's from the things that are Kali HaBishul, and maybe it's going to have Bishul B'Klishen. So those are the two reasons. If that's the reason, so then it probably wouldn't even help if you move it into a Klishlishi, if it's really Mikali HaBishul, so you can't even use a tea bag in a Klishlishi.
But Gemara says only a Klishen, he doesn't say a Klishlishi, so.
Yeah, but yeah, this but is a concern there, Isis. Yeah, if you're really concerned in Atar that it's Mikali Abishul, then it wouldn't make a difference whether it's a Klisheni or a Klishlishi. I'll be Pashto.
What kind of Bishul do you have in regard to tea?
That's the Shaila. What kind of Bishul do you have in regard to tea? So there used to be, I remember, there used to be a Balabas in the Bronx. When I was growing up there in the Bronx, I was a little boy. There used to be a Balabas. He used to print Svarim. He used to print Divrei Torah. Hardcover Svarim, quite a few. I remember one of the Swarm he writes, he doesn't understand what are the Rabbanim pilfering so much in the literature about Bishul on tea bags. Nobody eats the tea bags. It's not edible. So what kind of Bishul? Bishul is only on food items. So that argument, Grada, is not correct. The Gemara talks about Bishul on tar.
Yeah.
The Gemara talks about Bishul on pegs of wood. The Bishul does apply. The Dinim of Bishul are different whether you're cooking chicken, are you cooking raw potatoes, are you cooking vegetables, are you cooking water, or are you cooking tar, are you cooking a peg of wood? The different shiurim of bishul. When are you on? You don't say Michael Ben Derusoy. You don't say when you cook the tar till it's yigil, Michael Ben Derusoy. That shiur has no application. But there is a din of bishul. But what he should have argued is a different thing.
Isn't it like Calvin, you know, no. Kalei HaBishul?
It says it's not Kali Abisha. Tavlin is not Kali Abisha.
Really,
I don't know which Tavlin you're talking about. Yes, so the suggestion was made that maybe tea bags are Kali Abisha. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather was I don't know which grandfather he meant. I think he meant his mother's father. I don't know. He said his grandfather was a very orthodox Jew, and he used to use tea bags and the klisheni. He was never machmir to pour the tea into the klisheni. But this is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Binyan Tzion, from the Chayei Adam, these two chumas. The one is that maybe the tea bag is Kali Abishol, and the other one is that can't even use it in a Kli Shlishi, right? Can't even use it. The Taina, though, is the following. There is Bishul in non-food items, but you have to cook it. Let's say I have a pot, an empty pot, and I put the pot on the fire. So that's called Bishul. It has no water in it, has no food in it. I just put an empty pot. The pot will burn, yeah. So if the pot will burn, it will be Havara. I'm burning the pot. But is that called Bishul on the pot? Just because it gets burning hot, that's not Bishul. Bishul haste. The Rambam writes, either you soften something because you applied heat, or you harden something. That's how the Rambam writes. And the Gemara seems that you make something soft. And the Rambam writes, either he made something soft, or he made it hard because of the heat. Make it hard? Yeah. Well, food, in food, there's a different thing of Bishul. Food makes make it edible, make it roi l'achila, the way it's supposed to be. So by eggs, it's food, so that we understand. But by non-food items, the Rambam uses the definition, wood, tar, yeah. He says you make it hard, you make it soft because of the heat. So that's the shiloh over here. When you have a tea bag that you put into hot water, it gets very soft. It gets soft because of the heat, it gets soft because of the water. And if you soak the tea bag in cold water, it also gets soft. It gets softer because it's hot water. I don't think so.
It gets softer faster.
Faster, yeah. Okay, so that'll be taka bishul. That's the kruvi bishul.
To release the coloring. Tavaya doesn't come in because I'm tavaya boyfriend.
But it's a psik ratio of getting soft though. So then it's going to be a psik ratio bishul. Anyway, that's the issue.
Shoveya doesn't come in, right, by the food.
We paskin that there's not Tzviya Boichon, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes that there was one opinion that there is a pram. Quotes of Yankif Emden, I came up with a chumer that there's a pram Yesh Tzviya Boichon. So he says, if you'll do it backwards, Kalachayad, so then it'll soften the Yisra of Tzviya because you did it like they shinoi. So he says, if you're going to take a tea bag and put it in the cup and then pour the water on top of the tea bag, that'll be kalachayad. But just a real shayla from Bishul. Because Iru is Mavashal. Iru is Mavashal. So he says, if you don't have hot essence, so he says you shouldn't pour the water on top of the tea bag. That's a real chashash of Iri being Mavashal on the tea bag. So you should pour the water first, then put the tea bag. But it's Tzaveh. You're doing the Tzaveh the normal way. First you have the water and then you put in the coloring. So he says that we rely on the fact that Rav HaPaskim say Yain Tzvi HaBakum. But he says if you have hot sense and you have hot water both on the blech, so it's preferable to pour first the hot sense and then to pour the water as opposed to Faket, because you're doing the Tzviya Kalachayad. You're doing it backwards. The normal way to do Tzviya is first to have the water and then to add the coloring. So what do you gain? You're satisfying one opinion that Yesh Tzviya Boichon. We pass the Mikra the name Tzviya, but if you do Faket, so it's a heather. You're avoiding the Shail of Tzviya Boichon. So again, so the Gemara first thought over here that the Machloik is B'Sham and B'Sil is only on Pesach. That's in the Mishnah it doesn't say Pesach, it says beyond it. But in the Braisa it says Pesach. And it sounds like it's Achshayla of Chometz. And the Gemara says the Shir has to do with Tefach. Why? Because all the Menachos in the Beis HaMikdash state Lo Sayofa Chometz. You're not allowed to make any Mincha Chometz. One of the many Menachos was the Lechem Aponim. So the Lechem Aponim had to be like a Challah, had to have a thickness. How thick was it? Tefach. Because it's lechem haponim. Why do we call lechem haponim? Ein ponim chutz mi tefach. The Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkah that lechem haponim had a thickness of a tefach. So you see that even though it's a tefach thick, you're not concerned that it's going to turn into chometz. So that's what the Gemara says. According to Beis Hillel, we even permit you to make. Rishama and Mishama say that's in the Beis Hamikdash. But Malkum's reason, the Kaharim are his reason, and the and the Bez Nagodl is supervising, and the Rabbanim running around, the Mashgichim, Beis HaMikdash, everybody's jittery and nervous, and you don't have to worry that the Lechem HaPanim is going to become Chametz. Gibrox is mut on the Beis HaMikdash, Bekitzah. Gibrox is mut on the Beis HaMikdash. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you want to make Gibrox in your own home. So that's where the Bishamah made Exerah Rabbanim. They still say no. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, we permit you to make the Lechem HaPanim at Tefach thick, and you're not concerned about Chomet. So too, on Pesach, you can bake cake
out of regular flour.
With regular Pesach bigger flour, not matzah milk. You can make cake with regular Pesach bigger flour, right? It could be a Tefach thick, and you don't have to be concerned about it.
More than a Tefach also.
Sounds like the Beisilah Kama Passover Tefach. The Beisilah are only matzah Tefach. The Shamayip sounds don't even allow a Tefach. They say it has to be mamish thin.
But the Beisilah
allow up until the Tefach, but not two Tefachim. We have even three Tefachim because we're using matzah milk. Not on the mice. We're using matzah milk. It's not bole de chimitz, but if you're using Pesach bigger flour, so it sounds that Beisilah is only matzah up until the Tefach, just like the Lechem HaPanim. And Beis Shammai say that's not a right because the Mamre Bizriz and Yom HaBishen is Rizim in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim has Rizim in the Beis, and the Beis Nagodol, that's their job, the Beis Nagodol.
To watch.
That's part of their job, to watch that all the Karbonos are done. Not just that they happen to meet in the Lishkas HaGozes, their office happens to be, it's a big office building and they rent space. No, that's part of the function of the Beis Nagodol, to watch that the Karbonos are brought there properly. Then Gemara gives other reasons why. That the tanur in the Beis HaMikdash was much hotter than the tanur in a private home. So it's going to bake faster, so there's less of a hashash of chimutz. And the logs that they used were dry logs. So again, the heat in the tanur in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be hotter than the fire in a private home. Right. Not for the layman, right? That's why it says they was reasoning. They were specialists, reason, right? Pasa Mela, Rashi says they used to zets when they would. Then they would make the dough. They used to kept on zetting it many times. Mashani came when a person makes a cake on Pesach. He's not going to necessarily. Sometimes they will zet. Sometimes they won't zet it. So if you're not going to zet it, maybe it will be bored of the chimus. The Gemara says there's so many reasons to distinguish. You can't bring a raya from the fact that in the Beis HaMikdash they always bake lechem upon him, which had a tefach thick, otherwise not called panim. You can't bring a rye from the Beis HaMikdash to a private home. Right, lechem aponim, there's a machloikis in the Gemara, machloikis amoroim in the Gemara. What did it look like? It's called lechem aponim because it had a specific shape.
Yeah.
What shape did it look like? So in the Gemara has a machloikis. One opinion is that it looked like a spino rokedes. It looked like a canoe. And the other opinion is that it was kemin teva prutza. It looked like a big valise, like a big box.
So you can look through and through, no? You can look through and through.
It was hollow on the inside.
But at the ends, was open or was closed at the end?
I think it was closed.
Closed at the end.
I think it had four walls, and then in the middle it was hollowed out. So I think those are the two minhagim that people have. Some people use sectional challahs for Shabbos. And some people use giflocht and a chalut. They have 2 points at the end. So those are the two opinions in the Gemara. It's the chalut that we have as echel lechem aponim in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Zohar says. That we had yud beis chalut on Shabbos, zechel to the yud beis lechem aponim. Yud beis chalut of the lechem aponim that we had in the Beis HaMikdash. That's Shabbos. Who uses yud beis chalut? That's another discussion. What does it mean in the Zohar that it's yud beis chalut? That's a long discussion.
Didn't the Vilna use yud beis chalut?
The Vilna Gaon said that it's a mistake. It should be yud beis chatzoyin, not yud beis chalut. He said if you took two chalut for Friday night and two chalut for Shabbos morning, two chalut for Shabbos Shulis, and you cut them all in half, so you have six chalut and you cut everything in half, so you have yud beis chatzoyin. And the Vilna Gaon says that that's the halacha like the Rashba. There's a Gemara in Brachos that one of the Amoraim took Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos and he cut the one he was going to eat and the other one he left Shlema. And the other Amoraim, Rav Ashi, I think, bought Zakula Sheirusa. So the Vilna Gaon learned Pshat like the Rashba in the Gemara, he cut the both Chalas. If you don't cut the both Chalas, then you're not Yetzi Lechem Mishnah. That's how the Rashba learned in the Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon says that that's what the Zohar holds also. The Maskanas Ababli corresponds to the Zohar, that you have to cut the both chalas. If you have two chalas on Leil Shabbos, two chalas on Shabbos in the morning, two chalas by Shalosh Shudas, and you cut all six, so you're going to have Yud Beis Chatzoyin. And the Yud Beis Chatzoyin, that's connected to the Yud Beis Chalas of the Lechem Aponim. So that's the shayla. What shape did the lechem aponim have? You want to have the chalos on Shabbos, should be zeichet to the lechem aponim. So one opinion in the Gemara Menachos in Perek Shtei Alechem. Perek Shtei Alechem has about the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos and about the lechem aponim on every Shabbos. So the Gemara has the machlokes amarim. So one Amara says that it used to look like a kamin spino raketas, like a canoe. That's a geflacht and a chal. It has 2 points at the end, and then it's wider in the middle, taka like a canoe. And the other opinion is,
what is raketas?
That floats in the water. It bounces back and forth. It looks like it's dancing.
Dancing, yeah.
A canoe looks like it's dancing.
It had a flat bottom.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
The other time we make round challah. You have to make a round challah because it has nothing to do with the lechem aponim. But on Shabbos we don't make round challah. Shabbos make either this or this, because there are two opinions in the Gemara, which historically...
Do the shape like a vol, because Shesh is human for working 6 days. Somebody says it has to do like with a vol, no?
Not for me.
No?
Well, I'm not familiar.
Usually on Shabbos the minhag is that Rabbi Yosef is Teichen Beisilu, he says,
what are you telling me that Beisilu and Beshamai are arguing about and Ashayla Chachomeis and the Machlokes is only on Pesach? That's what it tells in the Braisa. Machlokes is only on Pesach, no Machlokes on Rosh Hashanah and on Shavuot. How can it be? And the Beis Hillel are learning out from the Beis Hamikdash. He'll give you four or five differences. He says he'll give you four or five differences between the Lechem Aponim and the Beis Hamikdash.
And you can't compare.
So the Gemara finally comes to the Maskana. No, it's not correct. The Machlokes B'Shamai Beis Hillel has nothing to do with Chometz and has nothing to do with Pesach. That Bryce is talking about Pesach. That's a Bryce in Pesachim. So it talks about Pesach. But who are the Nami? Machlokes on Shavuos and Sukkos as well. And it's a different Machlokes. So what is the Machlokes? So it's unclear. So Rashi and Tosfos have a Machlokes. What is the Machlokes? Still unclear. So Rashi says, the Shammai say you're only allowed to bake as much as you need. You're not allowed to bake unnecessarily. That's how you can be onto the Lechol. What the Balabasta has off, she doesn't go to work. Let's say Balabasta goes to work all year long. Yantav she has off, so Yantav is going to sit and bake more than she really needs. So that's why from the Yantav L'chol you're not allowed to. So Bishamay say you're only allowed to bake the amount that you really think that you need on Yantav. Bishilah Matirim, Bishilah even permit you to bake more cake and cookies than you need on Yantav. Why? Are you not allowed to bake from Yantav L'chol? Because Hapas Nefes Yofib is Man Shatana Mole. Their ovens were not like our ovens. Their ovens used to put the food down on the wall, and then they had to scrape it off. Radia Zapa said to scrape it off. They used to put the dough of the cake and the dough of the challahs directly on the wall of the oven. So the more dough you're going to have, the less empty space they're going to be, and the heat is going to be more concentrated. It's going to bake better. So that's what we had earlier in the first pair. If you had a machlokes hatanaim, are you permitted to bake on Yantav more than you need because of this consideration? Because Hapas Nefes Yofer is Man Shatana Mole. So Rashi learns that this is the machlokes between Bishamah and Bishil. Tosfos is Masig on Rashi. This is the machlokes. This machlokes Bishamah and Bishil is the same as that machlokes. So why did the Gemara tell us that secret? The Gemara should have said in the first parak that this machlokes of Shimon ben Elazar and Hachamim is the machlokes Bishamah and Bishil. How can it be? So that's what Tosfos says. V'loy Nehira. Tosfos quotes the Rashi on the top of Daf Chabeis on the base. The Rashi says it's Machlokes of Shimon Alas and the Chacham from Daf Yudzayin from the first pair. So the Taina V'loy Nehira, it's not correct, because in Kain, if Rashi is right, Havel Alas Tzui, the Gemara should have quoted Hoder of Shimon Alas, Kevin the Plutai B'Hochi. This is the Machlokes. So the Gemara should put the two together. The Machlokes B'Shamim is still here is identical with Machlokes. There, so Tosfos says it's not correct. So what is the Machlokes? Ananda Shaila. Shaila is like this. The Machlokes B'Shamim Yisrael is like this. The person is expecting guests, and he has to have some mezainas to be mechabed the guest. So the balabasta has the berries. She can either make little tiny cookies, or she can make one big cake. Make it easy for herself. She doesn't want to waste so much time to make so many little cookies. She would prefer to make one big cake much easier. So the Beis Shammai say, we don't allow her to make one big cake because we're afraid it's so much easier. She made make
more,
a cake more than she really needs. So we make her be matriach herself to waste time, so she's not going to make more cookies than she really needs. She's only going to make exactly what she needs. What do you mean exactly what she needs? She expects five guests, and each guest gets five cookies, and that's all. That means you make a little extra. Someone may want
two,
someone may want doubles. So you make you make sure that you have more than enough. You have to have something left over also. The people are going to feel uncomfortable eating the last cookie. You have to have a little extra. So the Beis Shammai say, we don't permit you to make a big cake because then she may be negligent and she may not even try to be Mishayer. She may not even try to calculate how much she really needs. And she may put in way more than she really needs. And she's doing extra malachas. She's needing more. She's doing more lishim. She's not allowed to do that. So the Beis Shammai say, let's be machmer. We have to insist she has to make tiny little cookies. So she's gonna, and it's a big tircha, so she'll know she's not allowed to be matriarch too much. And Bais Hillel say, we're not choshed the balabasta, a religious woman, why should you be choshed? Tell her, only make as much cake as you need, and fact it, so she'll make a cake, and that's all.
Make
a
close kedolos.
Yeah, so you're permitted to make big cake. So it comes out, l'fi ha-maskonet, that the machlokes of Shammai and Bais Hillel has nothing to do with Pesach, and nothing to do with chametz, and there's no mocha for gibrox.
Yeah.
As though there was a shtickle ha-mocha from gibrox.
Yeah. What happened to
your hoyle? Hoyle is matem min ha-teira. Whether hoyle is a din min ha-teira, but the Rabbanu for sure you don't allow hoyle. Hoyle means that all the food could have theoretically been eaten on Yontif, even though I didn't have that in mind. So that's a machlokes. Rabba holds in the Gemara. Hoyle be mikle ochem chozev and hashtin ha-mi chozele. It's called Zerchon Nefesh. It sets itself up as Zerchon Nefesh. So even though we do, the Rambam passes from hoyle, that's min ha-teira, it's muta, but min the rabbanon, you're not allowed to bake on yontif lechol. That's the gemara that we finished the three chumras that Rabbi Gamliel's home. There used to be machma like the Beis Shammai against the Beis Hillel. So now the Mishnah continues. Afu amu shlosh adorim lehakel. This Rabbi Gamliel had unique opinions. Every time Chacham was like that. The Gedolim in every generation, they always had the Chazanish. Always had
different
chumers and kulas. And Rav Moshe had chumers and kulas. Rav Moshe wasn't always lahakel, and the Chazanish was not always lahachmer. I don't know. Someone, one Rav told me, he looked through the sefer that I wrote about Rav Soloveitchik. He says he thinks that Rav Soloveitchik got more chumers than kulas. I think so also, except that many of the followers weren't interested in following the chumers, so they just popularized the kulas. But I think he had many more chumers. He had so many chumers that sometimes life would be mamish made impossible. Chumis and Dinam of Taras HaMishpacha, a lot of other chumis that makes my life absolutely miserable and impossible. Every Adam Gadol is colorful. So the Mishnah described this Rabbi Gamliel. He had certain, there were three chumis that he followed, the Beis Shammai, and then there were three coolers.
How was he allowed to follow
Beis
Shammai?
Well,
pick and choose, I mean, can you pick and choose for himself?
Given on Adam Gadol, he held his own sheet. Maybe Rav Tarfon didn't have his own shittas. He was just following the Beis Shammai. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel held, I hold like the Beis Shammai. And every generation, if a person is Roy L'Hairoa, he's entitled to his own opinion. Just because the Shagasariya and the Vilna Goyen and the Mishnah Brura and everybody in the world says one way, if someone lives today, Rav Moshe disagreed a lot of times with all the Gedolim who preceded him, and he said he has a right to disagree.
But there was a well-known rule that he had.
I don't know.
I think he once said that Rav Tarfon went out of his way.
Yeah.
He was in a position to do it like the Beis Hillel, but he went out of his way to do it like Beis Shammai. That was his problem. I think that you said so.
That's what Mishnah says. Yeah, Mishnah says that.
He went out of his way.
Yeah, he put himself into sakana. No, this is a serious shaila. When was it determined that we're not allowed to follow the Beis Shammai? Maybe it was after the days of Rabbi Gamliel. I don't know. That's a historical question. Yeah. When was that? When was the Nimne Vagamra? When was the Nimne Vagamra? When was the Basco? Maybe it was after the days of Rabbi Gamliel. I don't know. So here the Mishnah continues. He had three kulas, and the Chachamim didn't agree. The Chachamim Eisrim. The majority opinion was they didn't like his kulas. What were the three kulas? Number one, Mechabdin Beis Hamitos.
Also, they didn't agree.
Yeah. They didn't agree with
him.
colorful, but they didn't accept it.
Right.
Yeah. So the one kula was about mechabdin beis hamitos. The shaila is they used to eat on a mito. I mean the dining room. Beis hamitos doesn't mean the bedroom where they have a mito to sleep. It's a mito to recline while you're eating. So the shaila is when you're going to recline while you're eating, so you're going to drop some food on the floor, so the floor is going to be all. And the floors were not. They didn't have tile and they didn't have rugs. It was a dirt floor, like in Europe. It was a dirt floor. So if you're going to sweep, lechabed is a floor. Lechabed means to sweep the floor. So it's a shaila mashve gumis. Rashi explained, mashve gumis is a real malacha. So the shaila is it's a dovish in a miskaven. Is it a psikreshia? So it's a shaila. It's a shaila. Are you allowed to sweep a dirt floor? There's a hashash. Discussion of the Gemara Shabbos, right? So that was one machloikis. So Rabbi Gamliel helped Lahakel. You're permitted to sweep the floor. The Chachamim Eisrim. They said you're not allowed to sweep the floor. Why you're not allowed to sweep the floor? Because they hold that it's a psikreshe, and he holds that it's not a psikreshe. And machloikis and metzias. It's a little funny.
Yeah.
He holds that it's a. They hold that it's a psikreshe. He holds that it's not a psikreshe. Maybe they both agree that it's not a psikreshe. Hakyan machloikis and metzias. That's where the Ramban. The Ramban has the famous statement: "You never have a machlokes and metzias." The Ramban is on this, in Masechet Shabbos. The Ramban is on the bottom of the Rif, in the Mochamis, and he writes: "It doesn't make sense. How can you have a machlokes and metzias? Check, make an experiment, and find out what it is." And he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi: "The hacker that the Yerushalmi has a Mishnayis Chala. How can you have a machlokes Satanoim where the or is the doichen, where the rice?" Is boladechimut or not? Experiment it, try it out, mix it with water, and sit and watch and take a look. Whether it's boladechimut or not? How can you have a machlokes? The Rishonim says they did. They experimented, and the machlokes was how to interpret. What happened? Is it called chimus or is it called sirchon? Because it was something in between. But the Rabban quotes that. That's what he quotes in Chulin. He quotes that. The Rabban in the beginning of Perek Eilat Treifos comments: how can you have hech to mihani? How could there be a machlokes in the Gemara where the treifa chay treifa and a chayah? They should have taken 100 animals that were treifa and locked them up and see whether they'll survive Yud-Beis Chodesh, or they won't survive. And he quotes the Yerushalmi Chala, how can it be? And there in Shabbos, by the sweeping the floors, he disagrees with Tosfos. Tosfos says it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether it's a psikreshe, whether you're allowed to sweep the floors. So Tosfos says if it would be a dovshin of miskaven, it would be mutter. Dovah Shein Miskav means that it may or may not be Mashva Gum. So if it may or may not, then we pass on Dovah Shein Miskav in his Mutter. But if it's a Vada, it's a Psikreshe, that whenever you sweep the floors, it'll Vada be Mashva Gum. Then you don't say Dovah Shein Miskav in the Psikreshe is also. So Tosfos says, the Machlek is Satanayim is it a Psikreshe, or is it a Dovah Shein Miskav? So Ramban says, how can it be a Machlek is the Metzias? So he says, no, that's not the Machlek, it's a different Machlek. The Rav Meir is machmer and boiner. Rav Meir holds even if you're not mashva gumis, the fact that you clean the floor, that the floor does not become liyapis is akarka, is also boner. Asvar is also boner. Even though you didn't change the karka, you just took the debris off. Let's say a person has a beautiful lawn, and someone threw garbage on the lawn. They threw dirty tissues and boxes and junk. And the balabas comes on Shabbos and Yom, whatever, and he cleans off all the debris. He doesn't rip off any of the grass. He doesn't cut anything. He just takes off the dirt, and the mela, the lawn looks beautiful. So there's one, there's a Rav Meir and a Tosefta, and it could be that we even pass him like that. That's a malacha bona. He was miyapa the karka. That's a malacha the rice of bona. Tilton looks also if he's handling junk, but more than Tilton looks, there may be a
malacha. You're leveling the floor, turning the floor.
Yeah.
You can
one kind of yapa.
Yeah.
No, but that's the marshal that's quoted by the Poskim, Liyapis is Hakaka, that is dirt right. That's strewn on the lawn.
When you level it.
If you level it all the time, I would agree that that's boina. You just take off the dirt on top, and the mele, everything remains beautiful as it was before the dirt was thrown there. So that's one time a hole that's boina. Shaila, how we Poskim. The Ramban says that's a shayla mechabdin beis hamitos. Whether you're allowed to sweep the floor, not is it a psikreshe, is it not? Different shayla. Even though you're not mashva gumis at all, Rashi says not shayla for mashva gumis. Ramban says even if you're not mashva gumis, to take the crumbs off from the floor, now it's a clean floor. I swear that may be bona.
Depends on how the floor is.
Mechabdin beis hamitos. In other words, if you talk about a floor, say a floor. If you talk about beis hamitos, if you have a table.
No, table is not considered. That was a karka.
Now the Beis Hamikdash means a dining room where they had the hesteba beds to lean on while they're eating.
No, no, no,
no. So the food was more on. The
sure,
food,
sure
crumbs of food would fall on the floor. So they used to clean the floor. So that's the one machlokes. Are you allowed to sweep a dirt floor or not? The second machlokes is whether menichim is amugma biyantiv. On yantiv, you're permitted to do malachas vechal nefesh at tzorach hayom ktsas. So what if you want to burn some incense that the whole room should smell nice? So that's. The Rashi and the Mishnah says that's a shiloh davish ene shavu lechal nefesh. We have to see the Gemara. Tomorrow is going to discuss what's exactly the issue of the mugma. We'll get to it. And the third issue is a local shaila. On Pesach, they lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So they wanted to make, on the one hand, a Zechel HaMikdash. They wanted to remember the way things used to be in days of HaMikdash. But on the other hand, you don't want to have that people should think that you're Yerechel Kodshim Bachut. So with these two considerations in mind, there was a Machloikis. So he said that it's permissible and recommended. Rabbi Gamliel said it's permissible and recommended. Dafke, you see, the Mishnah Pesachim in Makom Shenagu mentions Makom Shenagu Lechol Tzli, the Levi HaPesach Ochel Makom Shenagu Shelo Lechol Tzli. Some communities and some Sfardim still have like that. They eat Dafke Tzli, Dafke broiled on Pesach night. Lechol Amigdash, we should remember, there used to be Azazach like a Korban Pesach, and Pesach and Lechol Alatzoli. You have to Dafke eat it broiled, so we make a Lechol Amigdash. And most Mekaymas have the minig by the Ashkenazim. The minig is that you bedavka do not eat tzli, then nobody should think that you're eating kotshe machutz. Here there's such a similar issue. The Rabbi Gamliel held, after the Churban HaBayis, it's recommended, osin gedim makulas b'leilet sochem. If you, he's eating broiled, broiled, this is upkiret. He's eating broiled, his minig was that he ate broiled on Pesach night. But he used to eat even makulas. He used to broil it. Rosh al krov al kirboy. He used to broil the whole thing together. Not time he had lamb chops. Not time he had steaks that were broiled. He broiled the whole flesh together, just like the Korban Pesach, the Zman HaMikdash. The Chachamim, the Chachamim, that's how we assume. Even if your minig amokim is that you eat sli on Leila Pesach, but not gedi makulas. Because it's a hashash, Shem Yomru. People will think that he's Echel Kach Machut. So the Gemara is going to discuss each one of the three issues that Rabbi Gamliel was making on the Chachamim. Is legamer avola hariach dibre hakol muta. If you're going to burn incense in order that the whole room should smell nice, that you should inhale the aroma, that's zicha muta. That no one holds from the din of dov shein shavu lechol nefesh. Avega machta ganze din. Where Rashi quotes a very ganze gemara in Ksuba is that dov shein shavu lechol nefesh. You're not allowed to burn mugmer. So Ravasi says all the tanoim agree that that's permissible. So what's the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, the second shaila, with the menichim is hamugmer beyond the banan? No, it's a different machlokes. They used to put mugmer under the clothing, so that the clothing would absorb the reich. So that's the shaila from the second mona on the clothing. So Rabbi Gamliel was matter was from the second mona. The clothing can be worn without the good smell. And the Chachamim held no, but if you put a fragrant aroma into, let's say, if a woman puts perfume on her clothing on Yontif, so that's on Shabbos or on Yontif, so that's called Masakan money. You're not allowed to. She's permitted to put the perfume on her face, on her body, but you're not allowed to put perfume on the clothing because that's Masakan money on the clothing.
That's the difference on the face and on the clothes.
Because Masakan money is a money. Money is a beged, a kli. A kli is a mem nun aleph is a kli. So Masakan money is on the beged, but on the body, if you put the perfume, that's not Masakan money. Yeah, and according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's permissible to put it on the clothing. That's how Rav Asi learned. The machlok is Rabbi Gamliel and Chachamim is legamer is hakelim. Are you allowed to put a perfume on the clothing? Avolo hariach, but just to burn the psamim that everybody should smell it. What's ken shein zayin hashayla? And we hold not so. That's called dov shein shavu lechol nefesh. Frag the Gemara Meisvei. They're going to show that it's not correct. And when they show that it's not correct, they quote a long brisa that goes back to the first topic about mechabdim. It says in the brisa, goes in order. Hey, mechabdim beis hamikdash b'yantiv, it's not permissible to sweep the floors. Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel Mechab. They held that it's permissible. Amar Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Tzadik. He likened up. He says it's not true. I visited many times by the chief rabbi Rabbi Gamliel. Panim Harbi Nechnas Nachar Rabba. My father Rabbi Tzadik was a rabbi, and he used to go visit the chief rabbi of Beis Rabbi Gamliel on Yom Tov. It's not true. Lo Hayu Mechab Ne Beis Hamikdash Beyond. But when you came in, the floors
clean.
Were clean. It's not going to be the floors were clean. So he says, no, they used to lay out plastic covers on the floor. And then they had guests come and eat and make crumbs all over. And then the servants would come, take off the plastic cover, roll it up and throw it in the garbage can, and then it looked like the floor was clean. So the people thought that they swept the floor. They didn't sweep the floor. They had these plastic covers on the floor. That's what he says.
So they kept it clean for the guests,
yeah.
And then the guests when they were eating, they dropped the food all over.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they kept on putting plastic things on the floor, and then every time the next shift of guests came, they didn't sweep the floor. They took it off. They threw it out.
The other way around. But they took it off after the dinner.
Yeah.
But doesn't say so. Says Yatan, Ms. Halkin said that.
No, Ms. Halkin said
that. Some of them were different, Some of them were different shifts of guests. One group of guests came and they made a mess. And then another group came later. So he claims that this Tanner of Lazar Absurd claims that it's not true. He says, Ella Mechabin Mosem Erev Yantav. They swept the floors on Erev Yantav. First of all, they put on sheets. On the floor, so that any crumbs that'll fall will be caught on the sheets. L'mocha, the next day, k'shach nechnasim, when the guests are about to come, they want to have a clean house, m'safkumis and sardinim, so they would wrap up all the sheets from the floor, v'nimtzabais m'skabmiyel, but it would be clean. The merivyat, but they didn't sweep the floor on yantav. That's what he says. Omruloi. So the other Tanoim argued with Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Tzadik, what are you talking about? The practice only was, im kein, after Shabbos mutalas is kein.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Mishnah is in Beitza, it's not in Shabbos. So the Mishnah in Beitza says, in the home of Rabbi Gamliel, they used to allow sweeping the floors on Yom Tov. He didn't allow sweeping the floors on Shabbos. Why didn't he allow sweeping the floor? How did they? So according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik, that they never swept, even on Yom Tov they didn't sweep, they put out sheets on the floor and they wrapped it up. This trick is hetagom, you can do it on Shabbos also. And what did they think? And what did the other Tanoim think? That's their proof that Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik is wrong. So according to them, that he actually swept the floor. So why is there a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? What, a Psik Reisha is only awesome on Shabbos and Mutar on Yom Tov? No, Psik Reisha is awesome on Kol HaTorah Kulo. It must be that it's not a Psik Reisha.
Tosu says that it should be allowed point on Yom Tov, because if it's necessary for that day, it's only if it's a Melech of the whole. But he is sweeping, is not a Melech of the whole. Not a Melech of the whole, I mean sweeping. Not.
Mugmer, that we're going to get to the Mugmer, yes.
Therefore, that's why they assume that the floor is also on the
other. Okay, yeah.
Shabbos as well?
No, but they argue, if you are right, if you, Rav Lazar Tzadik, are right, the Heter should apply to Shabbos as well. And according to what they think,
they
actually swept the floor, so what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Why should it be?
No, because they practice.
No. What's their argument to Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik?
Yeah.
They argue. Rabbi Gamliel held on Yom Tov it's mutter to sweep the floors, and Shabbos it's awesome. How do you explain that? So when you get to the next daf, the last Mishnah. I don't know. Tell you, the Shabbos says minatir, it's mutter to build a house on Yom Tov. Yeah, mitoich.
It's only you say because it's into the hall. But here, by sweeping, is not an into the hall? It's not like.
Could be.
Has to do with.
That's also called Tarakah. More pleasant. Could be. On the next daf, it says, the discussion has nothing to do with food at all. He's talking about, I have a behemoth who has an itch.
Behemoth
is very annoyed. It has an itch. So are you allowed to scratch your behemoth on Yom Tov? Are you allowed to use an instrument to scratch the behemoth on Yom Tov? So there's a whole machlekes hatanoim, the three shitas. The Gemara is going to discuss gimel machlekes bedover, the three different shitas. And then there's one shita here that the dover she'eino miskavein. It depends, what is this thing that we're using to scratch the behemoth? Is it a psikresha that it's vadai going to cause bleeding? on the back of the behemoth because he really going to scratch. Has so many flies there, whatever. You have to scratch hard. So is it a psikresha that is going to cause bleeding? Well, no, it's a dovah she'enim miskaven. It may or may not cause bleeding. So if it's a dovah she'enim miskaven, it may or may not. So what's taka the din? So there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, but a dovah she'enim miskaven is muta, a dovah she'enim miskaven is osa.
Yeah.
So the Gemara seems to say that there's a third compromise shita. A dovah she'enim miskaven is osa on Shabbos and muta on Yontif. There is such an opinion. Why? Because it's probably based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has an opinion that dovah she'enim miskaven is mutter on Isurim Kalim and also on Isurim Chamurim. That's enough in the Gemara. And Isur Chama means he decreases in Mrs. Bezna. So Shabbos is Karis and Mrs. Bezna. Yontav is only on Isur Lav. So Dovish Enim Iskavim would be mutter by Isurim Kalim. That's what it says in the Gemara. And also on Isurim Chamurim. So there is such a Tana on Daf Chav Gimel. It says like that. So that's what I thought. Maybe this is what it means over here. Or maybe it's what you say over here, that this was an issue of Reichel Nefesh. Because it was only in the dining room where they ate. Could be. So that was their argument. If Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Sadik is right, that they didn't really sweep the floors, so that trick he can do in Kain after Shabbos, Mutar Lasses Kain. So they say, no, it means that he really swept the floors and he holds it's only Mutar on Yontav, it's not Mutar on Shabbos. And
maybe,
then.
I'm sorry. Maybe it's just a statement to say, if it is true, what you saw, and you witnessed it when it was Yontav, so same lie.
I mean, it's not an argument.
No,
it's not an argument to disagree. Could also be possible. Could be. It's not that. That's their argument to disprove Rabbi Elazar's website. Maybe it's just a statement. Oh, the way you say it'll be mutar on Shabbos as well. But the way they say it'll also be mutar on Shabbos as well. The way they say it'll also be mutar on Shabbos. I don't know. However, it's an argument. So now the Bryce and now the Tosefta quotes. This other part, the mugmer, the tesefta goes in order. First, it has about sweeping the floor,
right,
the machlokes.
Then
it goes with the mugmer. So the Mishnah records that Eimenichem sam mugmer biyantiv. You're not allowed to burn on yantiv. Shall base Rabbi Gamliel held that it's permissible. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik likened up. He says it's not true. As a child, I went many times with my father. Parmim harbin nechnas tacharaba. We visited the chief rabbi, and he said likened up. Lo Eimenichem sam mugmer biyantiv. It's not true. He never used to burn mugma. What they did was Elam Mevim. They used to bring containers on Erev Yontav. And they used to burn the mugma on Erev Yontav. And the container got all full of the aroma. And then on Yontav, they didn't burn anything. They just opened up the plugs. And the mele, it's like you spray a can that has a fragrant aroma. So that's permissible to do that. Yeah. So that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik taught. And then the Chachamim say, how can it be? Omer lo, im kein, hafi Shabbos mutar lasis kein. So why is it only mutar yontiv? Sounds like it's an argument. If you are right, so there has nothing, it's not a special kula on yontiv, it would be mutar on Shabbos as well. There's no malach at all. So what do you see from the way that Braisa records the story that the machlekes Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim is not legamer es hakelim? We're not talking to put the fragrant aroma into the begodim. No, to put into the begodim kenzayin. Everybody holds that it's osa. That's Masak and Mona. The machlekes is lahariya, to have it go in the year. Elaz agmar yitmar hachi yitmar. You said that there's a difference between the gamar es abgodim as opposed to lahariya. There is a difference, but you said it over wrong. Davshtein azay omer avasi. Before we said it sidreit. Now we're saying it right. The whole machlekes Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim is only lahariya. Rabbi Gamliel only permits you to burn the psalmim in order to smell it. He doesn't hold from the din of Davar Shavu L'chonav. And the Chachamim say, no, there is a din of Davar Shavu L'chonav. Aval Gamar Esakelim, everybody will agree that it's also, because that's Mesak and Mona. That's Mesak and Mona. But the Pashtus is, let's say, to put perfume on the body. The Pashtus, we assume that is permissible. Mesak Mona is only to put on the clothing. In Hilchus Nesias Kapayim and Duchering, in Hilchus Nesias Kapayim, the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetiv writes that in certain communities in Italy, I think, they used to have a minig that on they used to Duchen on Yontif, only Duchen on Yontif, they didn't Duchen every day. So on Yontif, when they would Duchen, they would put in perfume in the water, in order when the Kohanim should wash the hands should have a fragrant smell. So some Achronim held that that's a problem of like legamer, that just like on Yontav you're not allowed to be megamer as abgodim, so too over here, what? You're not allowed to put on the hands Then it's like perfume on the body. It means in the water. It means when you pour the perfume into the water, so that's Misakin Mona, because the whole water smells pleasant now. When you put it on the Kohanim's hands, that's okay. If they would have put the perfume in on Erev Yontov, that wouldn't be a problem washing the hands on Yontov. But pouring the perfume into the water, that's like pouring perfume into the begodim. That's a shayla from Misakin Mona. And others have no Misakin Mona. There's only on a beged, there's no Misakin Mona on water. Now the Gemara hat ha-shayla, three lines from the bottom.
Can you smoke meat?
Yeah, Rashi writes, let's say
Gordon,
you have peiros. No, here he has, let's say you have food.
Yeah.
You have food which is edible the way it is, but you want to give it a pleasant smell. That it should even be more appetizing by having a pleasant smell. So we want to burn mugmer on a coals in order to give a pleasant aroma into the Oichlim, into the Paris, which Ben Kovako are edible. So this is a shayla. Is this called Dov Hashem Shavu Nefesh? Well, they say no. Eating food is Shavu L'chol Nefesh. The only thing is that's the way I enjoy the food. We're not talking about smelling Reyach, that it's a Tainug that only Mufunok can enjoy. That's called Dov Hashem Shavu L'chol Nefesh. We paskin against Rav Gamliel that you're not allowed, L'hariach, you're not permitted. But Rabbi, it's not a dover shell. Eating food is everybody eats food. You're allowed to cook food, that's not a shayla. So maybe improving the food, maybe that's called dover shavu l'chol nefesh. Maybe that's considered mamash l'chol nefesh. So that's a machlokes amoroi. Iboilo mali ashin, what about the bima ashin food? So Rabbi Yirmiyah says in the name of Rav, it's not permissible. Shmuel says that it is permissible. So that's a machlokes. Rav Huna holds that it's osir, like Rav holds that it's osir. He holds the halacha like Rav is osir. So he tells you, what's the yisr? What's the yisr? Because he's mechaber. What mechaber? When mechaber? What's for mechaber? He has coals, and when he throws the besamim, when he throws the incense on the coals, when he first throws it on, so he extinguishes the burning coals a little bit, for a while. So that's mechaber. We usually, when we talk about mugmer, we always talk about havara, that you're going to cause the incense to burn. So it's havara, which is not for echal nefesh purposes. It's havara for a dovish and shavu l'chal nefesh. What does he say over here? Mifnei mechaba. So that's what the Gemara is. Omele Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, why did he give the reason of mechaba? Why don't you say that it's mavir? That's the way we always say that it's mavir. The name of Marim Pnei Mavir. Why don't you say Pashit, the normal reason that it's Havore? What you have on that it's Mechabe? So he says Chagimain that it's both. It's both Mechabe and Mavir. There's two Malachas. It's both Mechabe and Mavir. Amalei Tchilos and Mechabe. The Sofa Mavir. First, when you throw the incense on the coals, it causes the flame and the coal to become extinguished. And then, after it sits there for a while, then Faket, and the flame will take over the incense and it will cause the incense to burn. And it would be both mechaber and mavir. Is there a difference la halacha between the malachas? There are 39 malachas on Shabbos. Is there any difference between mechaber and mavir and the chaymer ha'isir?
Yeah, mavir only has the tzurich. He needs the mavir, not stam mavir. If I need tzurich, I mean, if he doesn't need the mavir, he doesn't want the call. It's only if he wants the call.
You mean in a heter? You mean?
Yeah,
heter to do havor on yontev is only if it's letzorach. If it's not letzorach, not. Yeah, they're both. The heter of both mechaber and mavir is only letzorach. Yeah. But is there a difference in the listing of the 39 malachas? Is there a difference between mechaber and mavir? So the Gemara says that there is a machloek satanoim.
Mechaber must be with
mavir. Whether yeah, those are details. Yeah, no, I'm driving at a different thing over here. There's a machlekes hatanoim. Why did the Chumash single out Lois Barayish B'chomash V'Seichem B'Yayim Hashabbat? Havor is one of the 39 of its malachas. It already says L'Sasekom malachas. So what's the significance of singling out Havor? So it's a machlekes hatanoim in Masech Shabbos. It's over here. The top Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi and Meshilin in Beitzah. So one time is of the opinion that Havara l'chalik yotzis. The reason why the Torah singles out Havara is to tell you that each one of the 39 malachas is a malacha b'fnei atzmo. And if you violated any one of the 39 malachas, Yechayiv Misan, Yechayiv Malkas, Yechayiv Chatos, and any one of them. And if you violated five malachas, Yechayiv five Chatos. You don't have to violate all 39 to be Chayiv Chatos. If you violate one, you already chayv chatos. If you violate five, you chayv five chatos. That's called a chalak yotzis.
Yeah.
There's a chilik malachas le Shabbos. The other Tana says no chilik malachas le Shabbos. We have a different source. Everybody's masking. There is a din that yesh chilik malachas le Shabbos, but he holds that it's a different source. And the reason why the Torah singles out la sevaru eish b'chol mashu sechem is to tell you that havara is tau, that it's not really one of the 39 avos malachas. You only have Malkus. There's never any Misan, there's never any Chatas, there's never any Chorus. Avor Lalav Yosas. It's only Alav.
Yeah.
Unlike the other 38 Malachas, that it's a Chorus and Misa, Havara is less. So this is a Shadow. When you say that Havara is less, according to this opinion, that Havara is less, what would you say regarding Mechaba? We say, do you say Mavir Mechaba? Mechaba or Mavir? When you have the list of Masech Shabbos, Dafan Gimel, so it puts the two together in one breath. Mechaba Mavir, I mentioned together. So are they twin malachas? So once if you have a pasuk that says that Havara is lalav yot, it's only a lav and there's no koris and there's no misa, that means Mechaba Mavir are both the same. Or you say no, it's only Havara is lalav yot, but Mechaba is not lalav yot. So how will we know? What's the difference halacha l'maisa as far as we're concerned? We don't give any malchus. We don't give any misa, and we don't give any kores, and we don't give any chatos. All of this is irrelevant. Is there any nafkamina halacha l'maisa bizman hazeh in our kitzur shulchan aruch, in our daily lives? Is there any nafkamina whether havara lalav yotzes or havara is not lalav yotzes? The Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi over here, and it's in the Bavli also in Psochem Daf Hei. The same Rashi learns Pshat in the Bavli, the same as Tosfos learns in Yerushalmi. The shaila would be if. What do you carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov? Whatever is a malacha on Shabbos is a malacha on Yom Tov. It says you're not allowed to do any malachas on Yom Tov, unless it's malachas echal nefesh. So what constitutes malacha? So if you hold havara lechalek yotzos, then there are 39 malachas. Havara is a malacha. But if you hold havara lelav yotzos, so the Shami says there are only 38 malachas. There are not 39 malachas. There are 38 malachas, but nochan isur tzugit shepet. There's an isur of mavir. And when you carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov, you only carry over the 38 malachas. You don't carry over Mavir. You don't carry over Zayta Giyisud. That's a shaila. Are you permitted to light Ner Shel Avtolo? That's what we spoke about, lighting a Yortzeit lift. The person has Yortzeit, the person says Yisker.
Yes, but it's better to turn on another burner instead of lowering the flame on the other burner.
Yeah, that was a shaila. Maybe there's no heter to do kibui. Maybe Mechaber.
The two is Surin Bar. One is Kibui and one is Havara. So maybe since Havara is Tau, perhaps maybe you put it that way.
Okay. That's another angle. Right. There we were discussing that there is some Rishonim hold that Havara L'Tzarech HaChol Nefesh is Mutter and Kibui L'Tzarech HaChol Nefesh is not Mutter. Right. That was the angle that we were discussing the last time we spoke about. But here the Tesis quotes are Yerushalmi and it's a Bavli and Psochem Daf Hei with another angle that what? If Havara lelav yotzos, then there are only 38 malachas, and Havara is a separate Issa, and it doesn't carry over to Yom Tov. So Stam is mutter to do Havara on Yom Tov. There's no prohibition at all. Even Shalom and Tzarech HaChol Nefesh, even a Ner Shel Avtola. To light a Ner, it's not a Chol Nefesh, it's not Tzarech HaYom Tzas, it's Gomish Megon. No, you get Malkus as an indication that it's not really a malacha. The 38 are malachas. And the 39th one is Anissa. Would be mutter. That's one opinion of Rishon. Would be mutter. So how do we pass on halacha l'maisa? So Tosfos quotes he Rishon loy tesa v'loy tishvi. Don't take a stand. Loy tesa v'loy tishvi. That's how Tosfos writes in the middle of the Tosfos. Umikan yesh lizor malasas havara shelo l'tzorech. You should be careful not to light a ner shel avtola beyond the why. Because the Rishalmi said that there's a machloikis, and the machloikis depends on the other machloikis, whether havar lalav yatzos, havar lachalik yatzos. And the Rishalmi says, what's takad halacha like tesa v'like tishri? Don't take a stand. Don't be matir and don't ask it. If the balabatim do it, so don't get excited. But if they ask Yishalat, don't tell them that it's permissible because it's a machloikis.
If havar is alav, would it make a difference in terms of the shabbat with the kolim barshi?
Probably also. Shema Yechata Bigecholim. No. Shema Yechata is both. The Gemara says Hamachata Bigecholim will cause some of the coals to become extinguished, and some of the other coals to start burning. So the Gemara says increases that one is chote b'gecholim is in violation of both mechabe and mavir. It's in violation of both mechabe and mavir.
But it wouldn't matter whether
you still, and you still make gzeira. Yeah, you still make gzeira. Even if it's only a lav, you also make gzeira. So this is the shaila. If one were to hold havara lelav yatzos, then the Mishalmi understands that havara is not a malacha. You only have 38 malachas. Havara is azaitigi, so it doesn't carry over to yontav at all. So havara would be mutar on yontav imishalol etzarach klal, and there shalaftola would be have to come. How do we paskin?
Yeah.
The Mishalmi says don't be mekel. Loy tasev loy tishri. Don't be mekel. So that's what Tesa says. You should be careful not to be matar this. Because Yishalmi says it's not right to be matir. So now is a shayla, what about mechaber? Would you say if you hold that havara is heter gomer on yontif, that you're permitted to do havara even shalot tzorach klal, even near shalaf tola? Would you say that mechaber is also heter gomer?
No.
How can it be? We had a whole discussion. Is a mutar lechaber says haner mishum dover acher?
Yeah.
Not allowed to do tasha shamita b'fnei oraner. So the Gemara had a whole discussion. The Gemara says there's no heter. They weren't matir. What's the shayla? If mechabe is also lalav, if you hold havara lalav yotzos, and mechabe mabra twin malachas, so mechabe is also lalav yotzos. So there are only 37 malachas. They're not 38 malachas and noch anisa. The 37 malachas with two twin isurim that are zaitig isurim, both of which don't carry over to yontif. So if that's the case, then what did the Gemara hack a whole discussion? We spent a whole hour on this. What's the whole discussion? So you see from the Gemara that Havara maybe is not a malacha, but mechaba for sure is a malacha, and that's an often a Gemara increases also. That Gemara increases says the one is chota the gecholim. If a person pokes around with the kolos on Shabbos, he's in violation of both mechaba and mavir. So does he have to bring a korban chatos? So one brisa says he's chayv one chatos, and one brisa says he's chayv two chatos. So the Gemara says increases. What's the nekudas of machloekas that he chayv one chatos and chayv two? So the Gemara says it depends. If havara lelav yotzos, so you only chayv one chatas for the mechaber, you're not chayv a chatas for the havara. If you hold havara lechalak yotzos, so you chayv two chatas for both. So what do you mean you chayv one? You shouldn't be chayv even for mechaber. If you hold havara lelav yotzos and the twin malachas, so kibbutz is also lelav yotzos, only 37 malachas. So you see, beferish from the Gemara that when you say havara lelav yotzos is only havara. And it does not include mechaber. That's often in the Gemara that we learned last week about the whole discussion. Mechaber is on there. Mishum davaracha. The whole discussion we had turning off the fire. What's the shayla? Turn off the fire on Yom Tov. There's no problem turning off. Turn off the light. Turn off the fire. Turn off. We have discussions on the matter. So you see that kibui for sure is a malacha. Habor is the question whether it's a malacha or not. So the Rashash has a famous comment. The Rashash lived in Vilna. He was a relative of Rabbi Menashe Ilya. Menashe Ilya was a super genius. So Rabbi Menashe Ilya used to say Vilna Pshatim. He used to give original Pshatim against Rashi, against Tosfos, against all the Rishonim. And he used to be a Malamed. They always used to fire him. They didn't like, he wasn't teaching the normal way. And the Vilna Gaon always liked his Vilna Pshatim. And then they say that later, when they printed the Vilna Shas years later, they had from manuscripts Rabbi Nachmanel and other kids, so yeah, they found some of his Vilna Pshatim, his Vilna Taichin in the Gemara. They found it. Rabbi Nachmanel, some other Rishonim said like him. So he published a sefer that's called Alfei Menashe. His name is Menashe Ilya, and he published a sefer Alfei Menashe, and every so often he has his chidushim. So the Rashash on Shabbos Dafayin Gimel quotes from Sher Bisori, from his relative of Menashe Ilya, in the sefer Alfei Menashe, that he raises a sofek. If you hold that Havara is only Lalav Yotzos and it's not a Malocha, what would you say about Mechaber? Would you say that twin Malochas and Mechaber is also Lalav Yotzos or not? So he's not sure. Menashe Ilya is not sure. So he says, with all due respect, he was a super genius, but he forgot the two Gemaras, he forgot the Bavli, the whole sugi over here,
yeah.
and he forgot the Gemara increases. Achot de Gecholim is over Chai Mishum Mechabe and Mavir, and it's a machlokes in the Brisa, but it's Chai one chatos or two. Machlokes is whether Havor Lalav Yotzos or Lachalav Yotzos. But a Mechabe, everybody holds that you Chai one chatos, and he says he forgot the Yerushalmi also. The Taisis here quotes the Yerushalmi. So Yerushalmi says, and Ner Shalach Tolo is a machlokes. Are you allowed to do Havor on Yontav Shalot Tzorach Klav? That's a machlokes. But what about to do mechabesh lotus haraklal? So Yishalmi seems told definitely also. Definitely also. The same as the Babli that we learned last week. It's not so easy to be matan mechabesh. Even the tzarech achal nefesh is not so pashut that it's mutter. Even the tzarech achal nefesh. No one says that mechabesh is mutter, hetagomer, there's no malach at all. The Yishalmi alpi pashtus distinguishes between mechabesh and maver. The Rashash just says, if you read this Taisus, Taisus is corrupted the Yerushalmi. He says, Taisus says something that doesn't say in Yerushalmi. Taisus writes, Afil Leman Dishori, the last 10 lines in Taisus. Afil Leman Dishori, Havarash Lola Torah Klal, the Yerushalmi, even according to that opinion in the Yerushalmi, that you're permitted to do Havara and Yontif. On Shabbos, Havara is also. Yeah. But even according to the opinion that Havara does not carry over from Shabbos to Yom, because only Lulav Yotzos, and it's not a Malachi. So Taisa says, that's only Havara doesn't carry over. But Mechabeh would be forbidden on Yom. Why? So the simple reading of the Yerushalmi is because Mechabeh for sure is a Malachi. The whole issue whether Lulav Yotzos or not is only on Havara, not a Mechabeh. And Taisa Sepis reinterpreted everything. Lefi, Taisa says, sometimes havar is done for achal nefesh in order to cook food. But kibbu is never done for achal nefesh. What did they give a reason? What kind of a strange reason is this? They should have said the real reason, that everybody holds that kibbu carries over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Kibbu for sure is a malacha. Of course it's also. The only hetter you can have is achal nefesh. If it's not tzarech achal nefesh, kibbu is not tzarech achal nefesh, for sure is also. And even the Tzach Dabar Acher, the Gemara says that it's also we're not Mata. What did Taisus have to go give a different reason? So from Taisus, it sounds as if they're assuming that just like Havar is not a Malacha, Kibbu is also not a Malacha, the twin Isurim, Mechav and Mavir go together. So if you kicked out Mavir from the list, so you have to throw out Mechav also, there are only 37 Malachas. So then it should follow, just like Mavir is Mutter. So they quetched the new svara lechalek that you never find mechabe leichal nefesh. They quetched the new svara, but in the Yerushalmi, the Rashash points out it doesn't say that. The simple reading in Yerushalmi is because mechabe for sure is a malacha. Maver is not a malacha; it's a separate east. But mechabe for sure is a malacha, so it's also on yontif. That's what he points out in Shabbos on Daf and Gimel on the Mishnah, when the Mishnah lists off all the lametes all is malacha. So here the Gemara has this machlokes with the la'ashen es ha'peiros. If you're going to burn mugmer, burning mugmer is both mechabe and mavir. You're going to burn the mugmer, not in order lahariach to smell in the room, but rather to give a reach tov into the peiros. Do you say that, look, eating peiros, that's achal nefesh. Since this is to enhance the
flavor,
the flavor, it's enhancing the achila. So that's called Eichel Nefesh, or should you say no? So that was the Machlokes Hamaroi. And then the Gemara continues to make distinctions, maybe sometimes Osir and sometimes Mutter. Yeah? La'ashen Tereshim Machshire Eichel Nefesh. It improves the food. You mean the food? I could have eaten the peiros without
like
the smell.
Now it makes it better.
That's not what we usually understand by machshir eichel nefesh. Yeah. I don't know what he means.
Maybe lasha means to smoke, like smoked fish, smoked meat.
Yeah. And
so,
but then it's mamish eichel nefesh.
So, yeah, those kind of cooking.
Let's say you have apples.
That should be
mamish
mutter.
And you want to, you could eat them like this too, but cooked they taste better. There's no issue because that's not considered a shiur on nefesh. I mean,
that's
on the mamish. Even though I could eat them night way there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what he means. You have to go through all the Rabbeinu Hanans to see what his terminology is on. I don't know. Okay, maybe we'll stop here because the next Gemara is a little. There's a whole Esek Rashi and Tais is what it means. And this week's Sedra, the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu was very interested in purchasing the Maros HaMachpelah, and he spent an awful lot of money to buy it. What did he see there in the Maros HaMachpelah? So the Zohar and the Midrashim both say he knew that this is something special, that Adam and Chava were buried here.
No.
When did he find out that Adam and Chava were buried here? So there are different versions when. The Zohar says on the occasion of the Akedah. It's very strange. After the Malach said Atishlo Karchamama Taslo Miyuma. So then he noticed that there was Ayil Achanechas Basrach, and he went to get the Ayil to be Makav as a Kum, so the Ayil started to run away and ran around and ran, and he chased after it. Very strange. So he ran from Arabayas till Hebron. And then he brought it back. And then he brought it back, and it was Makav. Anyway. Anyway, that's what it says in the Zohar, that he ran on the occasion of the Akedah. That's when he ran. And in the Midrashim, in the Medrash Rabbah, it doesn't say on the occasion of the Akedah. It says that was when the Malachim came, and says by Kachas ben Abokar, he went to Shech the Behemah. So the Behemah wandered out. He was living in Hebron. No, he was living in Hebron at that time. So they wandered. Elon the Mamre. So he wandered the par. Mekachas ben Abokar, the ben Abokar ran out a little bit, so he chased after, a 5-minute chase, and he went into the Maris HaMachpelah, and that's when he discovered that Adam and Chava were buried there, and he knew that this is really worth the billions of dollars, and at Obginat Ephron Achiti, and he only paid 400 Arba Meir Shekel Kesel.
Now, Ephron said only 400, he didn't
know that. That's the Hashayla. Let's say they had this in the newspapers in Eretz Yisrael around 2-3 months ago. Someone passed away, and I had a whole library. Svarim, my rav passed away, and the Mechas Svarim came, and he bought everything for $200. They were all used, they were all secondhand. Svarim bought everything. Then it turned out that one of them belonged to the Chidor and had a signature in it. So that book is worth $5,000 because it had the Ksav Yad of the Chidor in it. So the Shaila was one of Einor. That the Mechas Svarim, it was all b'shegig. The Mechas Svarim paid him $250 for all the Svarim. Then it turned out one of the Svarim alone was worth $5,000. Is there a prohibition, or is there a story of Einor? But here, Mamish Avraham Avinu knew in advance. He knows that this is worth $1 million. Einor no b'karkos is b'diyeva, the penalty doesn't apply. Right, the Mishnayos have that there's a penalty of Einor, that if you knock somebody up, say if it's shtus, the penalty is machzor enough. Yes, a mishtus, you have a right to back out from the whole deal. How did the Tanoim know that there's a penalty? Where does it say in the Chumash that there's a penalty? So the Minchas Chinuch has a whole essay based on a Ramban. Ramban Chumash Perek Takasha, we learn that from the Psukim, Einor Einor LeKarkos, that if you cheat somebody in real estate, there's no din of Einor. How can it be? The original Pasuk of Einor says by Karka. It says when you sell a field in Eretz Yisrael to someone else, you should keep in mind that he's only going to have it till Yovel. When it comes Yovel, you're going to get it back. So you should fix the price accordingly. Neither should the Meicher cheat the Lekech, nor the Lekech should cheat the Meicher. You should both keep in mind he's only going to have it until Shnas HaYovel. So Shteit Beferish, the original dogma, the original example of Einor that the Chumash gives is by Karka. So how can the Tanaim read a pasuk and say that Einor Einor LeKarkos? There's no Einor LeKarkos. So the Ramban answers on Chumash, Einor LeKarkos goes on the penalty, and this is where the Tanaim, the Minhag HaSchinah said, this is where the Tanaim knew that there's no, that there's such an institution as a penalty by Einor. The Pasuk says, there's an Isser Einor, and there's a penalty of Einor. The Isser of Einor applies even to Karaka. The Isser of Einor applies to Hegdish. The Isser of Einor applies to Nochri also. You're not allowed to cheat on Nochri. What it says in the Mishnah is, there's no Einor to a Nochri, it means that the penalty doesn't apply. The penalties don't apply. So here, this is the Chatela. How can Avraham Avinu cheat? How can he cheat Ephron? Avraham Avinu knows, but Ephron didn't know that it was worth $1 million. But Avraham Avinu knew already, either from the time of the Akedah or from the time of the Malachim, he knew that it's worth a fortune of money. So how does he narrow up Ephron? He says, whatever you want, I'll pay. He says, I'll take $400. He knows that in his heart that it's worth much more.
The value depends on the spell, and about each hand has his own.
Maybe for him it wasn't any value.
So the Pashtus is like that. The Pashtus, the Nesivus writes in several places in various Svarim that Shavius of any object is Kamahu Shavalim Kabashuk. If I have sentimental value, this is the cedar that my Zayda used to dump from falling apart. If I sell it in the store, I wouldn't even get a nickel. No one is interested. They can buy a full sitter for a dime. Who wants this It has sentimental value to me because my Zayda used it in a concentration camp or whatever. So that's not Alpidin, that's not called Shabbos. So if somebody destroys it, they don't have to pay me $100, they don't have to pay me even a nickel. It's not worth Kamlo Shavalim Koshuk, how much is this really worth? So here I'll be Pashtus. The Pashtus is The Moros HaMachpelah doesn't have any value as far as the other Umas HaOlam is concerned.
Yeah.
Har HaBayis has no value either. Hebron, none of these places have any value.
Yeah.
This is all Gichepet. This
right.
is all Gichepet.
They
don't need
it.
This.
Yeah.
When they get it, then they'll destroy Kever Yosef. Then they'll destroy Kever Rochel.
Right.
Then they'll destroy the Har HaBayis.
Like before the 67, the whole land was...
They just want Gavli Gamloch. Well, it's not that they're interested in using it. It has no value to them at all. So that's not called Einor. That's not called Einor. If it has no Shabbos to anybody else except for me, so it's Kamal Shavalim Kvashuk stock of $400. So Avraham Avinu didn't cheat him. Doesn't have any. All of these places that they're fighting about in Eretz Yisrael now is the same as the Maris HaMachpelah. It has no special value to these Umas HaOlam at all. The whole reason why they're fighting is because they don't want that we should have it. That's all. So that's not an issue.
Let's say I go into an antique shop and they have there a picture.
Yeah.
And the guy says, give me $100 for the picture. It then turns out to be a picture, something which is written, painted by. So I made a new one, he asked me $100.
That's a big shiloh. The shiloh is as follows. He bought it for 75.
Yeah.
He sold it for 100.
Yeah.
So he made his profit. And he always has a fixed amount. He buys it for so much and sells it for so much. So that's a big machlokes in Achrayim. Whether that's a din of Einor. That's what happened over here also. By the Svarim. I forgot the whole case. He bought the Svarim. He sold the Svarim.
Okay.
He bought the Sefer for someone else.
He's
got
to be.
So that's a big machlokes. The Galya Masechta has a machlokes. He was the Rav in Navardik. And he had a machlokes with the Mirror Rav. About this, each one quoted other Rishonim. That is a machlokes. And the Pesachit Shiva Chasham Mishpat quotes this Galya Masechta. He quotes this machlokes that they have.
Some of these values will change 5 minutes later in the
marketplace.
People want it, sometimes they don't want it.
Okay.